Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And it's Sam.
And we're sort of doing this last minute emergency-ish episode because it is Thursday, April 3rd. And the stock market crashed today. And social media is crashing out today. Yep. And I'm crashing out today. And I felt like maybe it would be helpful if I shared and Sam shared how we're dealing with this, and Sam gave us a bit of a pep talk, or me a bit of a pep talk.
I did receive a text in the middle of my session that popped up on my Mac that was like, hey, do you know what would be so cool if we recorded on today? It's like, let's go, baby.
My personal puller out, you know, my personal coach.
Yeah.
You are.
A coach. Coaching coaches. Well, why don't you, what if we start with this? Why don't you tell me like what are your crash out thoughts?
I mean, I go back and forth a lot. I know, Sam, we've talked about how, you know, you get frustrated when people online are like, pack your bags, get out.
Yeah.
But I am not – like, I listen to those and sometimes – like, my biggest fear – I think I was telling you this, like, last week when we went to dinner – is my biggest fear is that something is going to happen that I'm not informed enough about to take action. Mm-hmm. And I should be packing my bags. But I guess I also have to be realistic that I'm not going to pack my bags.
Right.
So maybe I shouldn't be watching those videos about how to prepare if I'm not going to actually – prepare beyond making sure I have a passport and stuff like that.
I think my biggest question with that is like, okay, so where are 350 million people going to go?
Yeah.
Where are we all going to go? We're all going to go to Canada? They don't like us.
We're not going to be accepted anywhere.
No, we're not going to be accepted. Mexico? What? You're going to go to Europe? I find that argument to be so insanely privileged. Mm-hmm. To be spouting information that's like, you need to flee.
Yeah.
Like, that is such an unhinged level of anxiety to be spouting to people, the majority of whom will not have the ability, the resources, the capacity, the, like, financial means to uproot their entire life. Well, not only just that. Before that, you have to go through the entire process to figure out where you're going to move to. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have to then reach out to the government of that country, wherever you're going to go, and request paperwork. You can't just ask for a visa if you're going to move.
Yeah,
you have to be like, okay, you claiming asylum? Are you going to be an expat? Are you going to get a job with an American company in a foreign country? Like, even just like the initial planning. The majority of people are running up against barriers that just aren't possible. The majority of people cannot even afford the international plane ticket.
Right.
Like, I just think it's so unfair for us to be spouting off to people like, you have to leave now. You have to get out. You have to flee. Like, if you have the ability to do that and you feel that that is the best choice for you, I'm proud of you. More power to you. I myself have sat down and figured out, like, I am a Canadian citizen. I do, in fact, have dual citizenship. Do I want to go to Canada?
Very smartly secured.
I secured it last year. And I'm like, so like, I'll own that part of my privilege. But also, I would never broadcast that on my socials telling people, well, because I have dual citizenship and I now have like a shoe into another country, you need to figure out how to leave. Like, it's just not realistic or fair. And I think so much of that is just anxious floods of catastrophizing. And not to mention, I hate to break it to people, but the rest of the world is having the same types of problems we are. It's just different because Donald Trump is really freaking loud.
Yeah.
Like, Canada, they are having their own resurgence of a far-right group that is very much into Donald Trump's thinking and way of being. the prime minister that just won is not a part of that. He's more center left. But the far right individual, his name was Pierre Poilievre, he was slated to win. Trump actually gave him the disadvantage because there were a lot of Canadians that saw the level of chaos that happened following January 20th and decided to switch to the moderate party. I can't remember the new PM's name, but you can Google it. But yeah, so, you know, England is now having so much economic stagnancy, they are no longer considered a wealthy nation. Like, they have had 15 years of flat wage growth. Like, there has been no wage growth. The average salary is like £35,000 or something like that. Nobody can afford to live. France is reckoning with its far right. Germany is reckoning with a far right. Mexico has a fantastic president. They are still swarming in gang and drug violence. Like, I just think, yes, in a lot of ways, those other countries are not as politically chaotic as we are now. Mm-hmm. But I think there is kind of this myth that everything is fine everywhere else except for here. Mm-hmm. And that's just not true. Because the other thing that's incredibly frustrating, I think, today for me about these tariffs is actually the last 4 years, the United States economy alone was propping up the global economy. Mm. The way Biden approached his response to the COVID economic fallout, which everybody coined Bidenomics, was working.
Yeah.
We had the lowest rates of inflation. We had the highest GDP. We were growing. We were getting out of it. But nobody wanted to sit in that space because inflation was still real.
Yeah.
But nobody was willing to have the perspective that our inflation was the lowest across the board globally.
Yeah.
And Trump, in his spineless, obsessive need to destroy things that people he doesn't like build, mm-hmm. right? He has to destroy this because Biden did it. He is now putting all of that at risk. Mm-hmm. And so I feel insanely frustrated because we were in a really good position, mm-hmm. actually, up until...
I feel the same.
Yeah.
I feel the same. We literally had like done a soft landing. We had yep. done a bunch of things that people didn't think were possible. It felt like we were just... Mm-hmm. starting to fully get out of it. And the insanity of purposely tanking the economy has been driving me insane, where I just like Google over and over again, why would someone do this? And that's yeah. where you can find mm-hmm. very strong takes of people who are like, this is what authoritarians do to help other, you know, to help people, you know, his friends build wealth and stuff like that. And the only thing that has slightly grounded me was I read an article in The Atlantic that was like, and I think this has sort of been a sentiment of like, the worse mm-hmm. this stuff is, hopefully that will create breaking of party lines mm-hmm. and some mm-hmm. movement. Mm-hmm. But it is still, right, so anger-inducing that we're purposely doing this and people are going to suffer as a result of this, especially, right, disproportionately. Mm-hmm. People who are going to suffer from groceries and
yeah.
rent prices and
day-to-day
all of
living.
These. Yeah. And mm-hmm. it's all for what? For looking like the big, strong country, like looking like you are going to fix something, like what you said, Sam, not mm-hmm. wanting what the other administration's approach was. I don't know.
Yeah. I was having this conversation with my dad because my dad was like, I'm trying to – he's like, I'm genuinely sitting here trying to think of like what the strategy is. And I was like, look.
And oh, I asked ChatGPT.
Yeah.
I was like
– what is the point?
What is the point? I was like, find me an economist who believes in this. Like just – and it was like 2% is it that yeah. could believe in this. And one of them is like a crazy person who yeah. was in Trump's administration who has like no world – economic experience.
No. Everybody thinks this is a bad idea. And the thing I said to my dad, and I think this is about like Trump at large, mm-hmm. and I think this is just Trump's priority. The only way Trump knows how to do anything is to smash things. Mm-hmm. He did the same things in his business. Mm-hmm. It's the same way he approaches it. He's like, well, if I smash it and it doesn't come back up, it doesn't deserve to come back up.
Ugh, God.
And so He is a toxic mess of a human being who is so ignorant and arrogant, all wrapped up into one. And there is no larger... I think people are giving him so much credit that he is just this brilliant, like tactician that has all of this played out. No, the problem is he's so stupid. The really smart people around him are able to take advantage of these things. Mm-hmm. And so really wealthy individuals are absolutely going to take advantage of this because they have very smart accounting teams that are managing their wealth funds and are going to know what to invest in and what's going to rebound and this, that, and the other thing. It's not this like sinister, like world ending, like, oh my God. It's just like, it's economics 101. Mm-hmm. People with enough resources to invest in, you know, stocks at low prices are the ones that will absolutely gain in 3 to 5 years when the stock market starts to recoup and rebound because a Democrat is going to come back in and fix it all over again. Yeah. And so I think we need to stop giving him so much credit and continue to just do the fighting because the fighting's working.
Yeah.
The yeah. fighting is working. Wisconsin, the three races that just happened on Tuesday are massive warning signs for Republicans at large, and they should be very scared. Mm-hmm. Because the in Wisconsin, the Supreme Court justice, the state Supreme Court justice that was elected, she won by 10 percentage points mm-hmm. in a state that went for Trump mm-hmm. 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. That is a big deal. Mm-hmm. In Florida, even though Republicans won both seats, both districts, Trump won by 30 plus points. He barely eked by with 15% of a win. Mm-hmm. Which
does that translate to 15 plus points?
Yeah, 15. Okay. Yeah, 15 points. Sorry.
Like the points and sorry. The percentage.
My bad.
No worries.
That was my bad. Yeah. So like things are moving. Like Cory Booker, his 25 hour.
Thank God this week. That was the one.
That was huge. Mm-hmm. And that made a lot of moves. And also Republicans joined together with Democrats in the House and they stalled a voting measure that would have allowed or would have like forbidden proxy voting. So basically like it would have allowed people to not or like if you're not there, you can't vote kind of thing, which can be used to be very manipulative. And a bunch of Republicans went together, Democrats, and said, no, like mm-hmm. this is for new parents. This is for people who are caregivers. Like, because members of the House are totally different. Like, they don't have the same level of privileges that a senator has. Mm-hmm. House members are very often, like, just average people that ran.
Yeah.
And so they all have, like, lives right. where senators tend to be more business owners, entrepreneurial attorneys from big law firms, right? Like, you tend to need to have, like, pretty deep pockets and mm-hmm. – social connections to end up running for Senate.
Yeah.
But regardless, like also in the Senate, what happened was with these tariffs, four Republican senators came together and voted no mm-hmm. for the tariff bill to overturn tariffs. Like, I know that there's probably a lot of you listening to this and being like, that's stupid. That means nothing. That didn't stop it. Well, this is what this slow moving resistance coalition looks like.
We need a couple dominoes to fall yes. and then bigger ones can fall.
Yes. You need like because now all of this stuff that happened in the last week, as shitty as it was, there was a lot of really good stuff happened that put a lot of wind in people's sails to see that, okay, maybe not all is lost. Mm-hmm. Right. And I know it's like particularly devastating saying that if you are one of the 10,000, you know.
Yeah.
Health and Human Services employees that got laid off this week. It's nauseating everything that's happening. And the story that I wanted to tell personally of how I kind of like clawed myself out of this was 2 weeks ago, I was on Instagram and I saw this really well done carousel. I wonder if I saved it. I'm going to have to go look. And it just laid out everything that had happened to the National Park Service. And all the ways that it had been cut off at the kneecaps and everything that happened. And it had like the saddest instrumental music I'd ever heard in my life, like put over it. And I just like I had a complete meltdown. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a complete meltdown. It's like, that was the thing that out of everything just, I was like, this is what you're mad at? Mm-hmm. You're mad that we have national fucking parks? Yep. You're mad that it brings you $55 billion a year in revenue, even though it costs you $8 billion? Like, why? And I found myself like on the couch, I would have looked like I was just like staring straight up at the ceiling, like traveling through space and time in my mind. But like, it was just like this domino effect in my head of thinking of like everything and what the long-term ramifications of all this are going to be. And I felt so hopeless and I felt so like flustered and terrified and overwhelmed. And it had been a long time since I had gone there. And so I literally like got my shower and I like sat on the floor of my shower and I was just like, I can't do this. Like, I don't know how to do this. Like, how do we live like this? Like, I just don't understand it. And I let myself freak out. And I just kind of sat there for a little bit. And I was probably in there for like 15, 20 minutes. And then when I got out, I decided that I needed to do a couple things. And one of which was I was really going to hold myself accountable for the political content that I consumed. And I realized that I had been really bad with those boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't been really paying attention to sources. I had been paying attention to people's interpretation of events mm-hmm. and people's opinions. And that was really overwhelming me and flooding me. And so I like made a promise to myself that I was really going to make an intentional effort with what I engaged with on my FYPs. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I said to myself was, I refuse to believe that the American people will back down. Mm-hmm. We just don't. It's just not who we are. And I think seeing the anger that people have had and seeing the fight that people have had and the way people in Wisconsin showed up and the way I saw people in Florida showing up mm-hmm. and the conversations around things. And I think the natural ebb and flow to politics mm-hmm. and the understanding that Trump is ruling through executive order mm-hmm. because he knows nothing would pass in Congress. Mm-hmm. And it's sad and it's scary and it's terrifying to have someone who has betrayed what this country stands for so much. But I don't necessarily put all of my faith in the institution. I put my faith in the people. Mm-hmm. And I think the people are starting to show themselves and I am choosing to put my focus in that. Mm-hmm. And I also just think, in some ways, we were due for some change. Mm-hmm. I think we weren't focusing on good policy in this country, even when Democrats were in charge. Mm-hmm. I don't think we were fighting for the right things. I don't think either end of the spectrum was really protecting anything. And so we've had this conversation very recently on this podcast of this kind of idea of the universe. And mm-hmm. I think things sometimes need to happen to shake people up. Mm-hmm. To realize that nothing is guaranteed. None of our rights are guaranteed. We have to continue fighting for them and protecting them and advocating for them. And my hope is that as I see more and more people running for office at the local level, more people are running for, to challenge firmly held red seats. Mm-hmm. You know, people are taking action. And I think we will have people in come 2026 who will know the policies that like people actually want. Mm-hmm. And I think we will be able to rebuild. And I hate that we have to use the word rebuild. I hate that. Mm-hmm. Because none of this was really that broken. It just needed to be tweaked and funded differently and taken care of differently. But I just have to believe that like the American story isn't done. Mm-hmm. And state governments are still standing. Like the judiciary is doing its job, no matter how much like pushback it's getting. And, you know, I think our job as people is to just keep showing up.
Yeah.
And to keep fighting. And Laurel Lee and Rick Scott will not know peace on their Instagrams while I am alive. They will not know it. Like, every single one. I'm there. Mm-hmm. And I'm calling and I'm letting them know. And I called Cory Booker's office and I let him know how proud I was of him. And that is what I can do.
All of the lines were totally, or the inboxes were totally full by the time I called.
Yeah. And so I think, and seeing the response to that, seeing how many people were impressed mm-hmm. by that and moved by that, I think, I don't know what the end is. I don't know what this looks like. I don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows. Mm-hmm. But I have to believe that there is a way through. And that this is just, it's not the end. Mm-hmm. And I think what's so frustrating is someone like Donald wants you to feel that way because he literally thrives off of feeling like he is in control. Mm-hmm. And by the way, today he is at the Trump Doral golf course in Miami.
Yeah.
Playing golf.
Yeah.
On taxpayer dime. Day after blowing up the economy.
Yeah.
That's where he is. So if that tells you, like, this is not a man that's taking advantage of a moment to do something either good or bad. Mm-hmm. He just did something and now he's gone. Mm-hmm. Not giving a flying fuck.
Yeah.
Through the weekend. And I refuse to let a man like that dictate to me how I live my life. I refuse to give him the satisfaction that he lives rent-free in my brain, mm-hmm. making me afraid. And I've really clung to that. And it's still touch and go. And these are really, really hard, challenging times. And I'm not trying to like spout this, you know, kind of like Pollyanna view that like, oh my God, well, everything's always fine because that's going to be fine. Like, it's not that. But yeah. I think the overall picture for me is that I believe we can find a way through it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, I believe the elections are rigged. Well, if the elections were rigged, Republicans would have won Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So if you've had any doubts in the electoral system or how those work, look at Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Because that is proof that people have not laid down and died. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's been so much and right, like purposely so much. I was very inspired this week by Cory Booker. Like, thank God that happened this week.
Oh my God.
I think it is just so hard to not feel like to find the balance of being too informed, not being informed enough, which I know we talk about a lot.
Right.
But yeah, I think like the answer that I've been trying to come to is if I am so informed that I don't do anything.
Yeah. That's paralysis.
Then it's not good.
Yeah.
Even if I am missing something. I mean, you're so good, Sam, at like zooming out. And I think it is like the history perspective mm-hmm. that you have and stuff like that.
Also, I've been seeing something with the tariff thing as people are saying the tariffs were not, because there were a huge round of tariffs that Herbert Hoover enacted in 1930. And people are saying that caused the Depression. That's not true.
Yes, that's what I've seen.
That's not true.
Okay.
The Depression started in 1929. Mm-hmm. Herbert Hoover tried to enact the tariffs like an idiot, thinking that that was going to help.
Yeah.
And it made things worse.
Yeah.
So I say that to share, like, I think we're absolutely now, if he doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
Right. If in the next couple of days or by next week, there's no sort of negotiation. Mm-hmm. Right. And he just leaves these, I think we're in trouble mm-hmm. in terms of like a recession. I think we will see a recession of some kind. But also, you know, I live by the 36-hour rule with Donald Trump.
What is that rule?
So that says anytime you hear an announcement, you give it 36 hours. Because chances are something is going to change in that 36 hours.
Is this specific to Trump or is this mm-hmm. a general rule?
I've heard, I saw someone talk about it around the time of the election.
Okay.
After, it was like after he had won and we were all like wanting to crawl into a hole and die.
Yeah.
And they said what the strategy that they used in his first term was the 36-hour rule.
Hmm.
And so it was like the minute you hear something is announced, you don't lose your mind for 36 hours. Because right. there's a really strong chance.
We're on 24
chance,
right now.
We're on 24. But there's a really strong chance that something will change.
Mm-hmm.
He'll change his mind. Something will be rescinded. And that's mm-hmm. what's happened with, like, that's what happened with the other tariffs for the longest time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. I also think that man hates to see that the economy is tanking because it's the only thing that he runs
on. I thought
on.
So, but I didn't think he would do that. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I do not know. But that 36-hour rule has helped, especially mm-hmm. once we got out of like those first 2-3 weeks of just like chaotic insanity of all of the executive orders. I think now that's helped me a little bit to like pace myself
mm-hmm.
and to sometimes say like, okay, this happened. I can't freaking control it other than maybe sitting down with my finances and, mm-hmm. you know, making sure I'm budgeting, I'm on top of everything, and then I'll wait.
Yeah.
And it sucks because we're all in an abusive relationship right now. That's really like what this dynamic is. We're in an abusive relationship with the White House, but what do you do?
Are there any things that like can be in terms of like, right, you were saying – governing through executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a limit to that? Is there something Congress can start doing to push back on that?
Well, so technically, this is where it's going to start to get dicey.
Yeah.
And this is where, like, if you're
seems
listening,
like there should be a limit to the amount of executive orders you can
so make. Yes, and Congress is supposed to approve tariffs.
Okay.
So that is why this like whole concept of the constitutional crisis is coming into play.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of things that he is like demanding with these executive orders that are meant to go through Congress and
yeah.
he's not, and Congress isn't pushing back.
Yeah.
So that's why it's not that the government is like actively collapsing. It's that the government is in distress right
they're
now.
They're doing like nothing.
Because they're just doing nothing.
Yeah.
Congress still has all the power they want. Like they could have this man out of office tomorrow if they really wanted to, but everybody is still afraid of him.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, like if you're listening to this, put pressure on your reps,
mm-hmm.
put pressure on them. You know, look at what was the raise, like what was the margin in your reps election back mm-hmm. in November? Was it really thin?
Mm-hmm.
They're stressed then and they yeah. need to hear from you, like whether they're red or they're blue, like
yeah.
they need to hear if your district had a razor thin margin, you need to put pressure on them because that's how they know mm-hmm. what they need to be fighting for and what they need to highlight. Because if they don't, they have literally said in interviews, nobody's called my office.
Mm-hmm.
So in their mind, and not saying like obviously their phones are lighting up right now, but in the past, I've heard representatives yeah. and senators say, nobody's calling my office.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is a problem for the American people.
Yeah.
So make sure you're calling. Let them know how angry you are, how upset you are. Do not stop doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Like, keep that up. And, you know, I think those votes from those senators, that was really symbolic around the tariffs. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of reps expressing a lot of – like Republican reps expressing a lot of concern over these tariffs mm-hmm. because they know it's going to like decimate their districts.
Yeah.
So yeah. So really it's technically
yeah.
what the president is supposed to do with the tariff is they bring the tariff to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And Congress are the ones that are supposed to debate it and approve it and then decide if they are going to enact it.
Mm-hmm.
So – it's pretty problematic
yeah.
that he's just stood in the Rose Garden and said, here's our tariffs, which, by the way, they use ChatGPT to calculate.
How do you know that? It was released?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. How did they use ChatGPT to calculate it?
So basically what they did is they looked at – because you know how they had like the two mm-hmm. rows of like percentages?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently – they released like the calculation that they used to tabulate each number mm-hmm. with the assistance of ChatGPT, where they said the number that was under like the country's tariff on the US was basically saying like the, I can't even remember like the specific wording, but essentially it was like how much that country specifically benefits from trade with the United States. Mm. Like basically what we lose, I think, in trade with them that they benefit from.
Okay.
It's a bizarre like statistic. And then the other column was what we are now imposing as a tariff on them.
All right. So we have calling our reps. Mm. I love the Five Calls app. The other thing I did this week, let me see if I can find the name of the app that I found that I enjoy.
Oh, yeah. I saw you posted it to your stories.
It's called Goods Unite Us. Mm. And it is a helpful app where you can look up what companies and brands donate in what way. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Publix.
Okay. I have a bone to pick with this state.
So I'm going to be going to Trader Joe's and Fresh Market because I also can't go to Whole Foods. I don't know if there are any other grocery stores around here. I don't think so. Publix has a
monopoly. You guys, there's no grocery stores. None.
That was helpful. Is there anything else, Sam, that you're doing, curating your feed? Or
because I don't know where the future is going. Mm-hmm.
There's
protests happening this weekend. I still want to live my life as if the future is somehow bright. Mm-hmm. Even if right now it feels really dark and it's uncertain. Mm-hmm. There is absolutely nothing that lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever, good or bad. And so for me, I want to live my life in a way and make decisions in a way that comes from a place of hope and possibility mm-hmm. rather than just laying down and giving up mm-hmm. because I would rather go down fighting mm-hmm. with a man like this.
Well, we hope you all got something out of this.
Yeah.
This is pretty like last minute and casual and thrown together.
Yeah. But we do it for you.
Yeah. We hope that this was helpful in a small way. And join us on Substack if you like this, because this is literally Sam's thing on Substack. She does pep talks and history corner talks. Where, you know, she literally peps us up and tells us this stuff. We hope you all got stuff out of it. Please join us on Substack. It's so great over there. We love hearing from
you.
We love hearing what you think about the episodes. Mm-hmm. Essentially, we do an episode behind the scenes guide with more information, charts sometimes, graphics to go along with the episode. And then we also do another bonus, whether it's a piece of content, whether it's a video of Sam's. So you will hear from us twice a week if you're over there. And we appreciate your support so much.
So much.
And as always, we are an independent podcast. So
we're out here doing the Lord's work. So if you could rate, review, subscribe, share, anything that you can do to bolster us and get the word out. That is what we need right now more than anything.
So thank you so much.
Yep.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks.